Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 12th, I think, of January 2026. It's coming up for 6 o'clock in the morning, and I've awoken and come downstairs to make myself an early cup of coffee and talk to you and get on and do a few things this morning. Yesterday, I went to the osteopath. So I couldn't go to the osteopath or a chiropractor or any of these sort of professional people prior till yesterday, because over the Christmas period they were all shut. And then just as we came out of the Christmas period, I got hives, covered in hives, and they've been around for about a week, and there's still residue, dry skin and itching, and that was tedious, absolutely on top of the muscular pain and the stiffness, the rigor mortis that I wake up with every day, and which takes a couple of hours to shake off. And then I end up with a body that has no strength and certain limitations in my muscles to, you know, arms can't quite reach above my head, and I can't outstretch them very easily, and all of that that I've been obviously telling you about, and journaling them, the problems. And so as soon as the hives would look like they were on their way out, I booked the osteopath. I'm actually seeing a chiropractor on Wednesday, tomorrow. We'll see how that goes as well. To the osteopath we went yesterday, and it was very interesting, very, very nice, knowledgeable chap who saw me for, you know, nearly an hour. It was supposed to be a half an hour consultation to see, basically, if he could diagnose the issues and what the treatment would be. And of course, you pay for it. And so I did that. And he examined me, asked a load of questions about the problem, and then looked at my muscles and the movement that I had and the movement I didn't have and the flexibility that I had. And he asked me to do this movement and that movement and all of these things. That was interesting. And he was very much in our camp, and I didn't expect that. He wasn't very keen on pharmaceuticals as an answer, as a quick fix. He understood about some of the stuff that we'd had, the bioresonance stuff, the crystal healing, the homeopathy, and all the whole range of different things that I've been exploring and trying, the CBD oils and so on, and the diet, the carnivore diet. So he was really interested in that, and thought that my GP, who has put me on some of these things, was very enlightened. Anyway, the conclusion that he came to was I didn't need any physical treatment. It wasn't like a normal problem where you've done in the small of your back, or you've strained certain muscles in one particular area. So he said, no, that isn't the issue with my thing. He said, the inflammation, because he said it involves all the muscles and not always all at the same time. He said, if it was just one group of muscles, I could understand, but he said, it's not. And so therefore, it's not just a question of fixing or getting the muscles from a original injury to work again. He said it is some strange inflammation issue. So he suggested, and it has been suggested before, of course, but so many people had screamed, get yourself to an osteopath or a chiropractor. And he just said, you know, I don't think the chiropractor will be much, will be much cop either. Not much, much cop, but we'll come to the same sort of conclusion. That I need to get a blood test done to look for inflammation markers. So I've got to try and organise that and then see what that remedy is. But he was it was a very interesting chat, really, because he was saying, yeah, you know, in an ideal world, if you can tolerate things, it's best not to have the pharmaceuticals. So that was really interesting to hear that from a professional. And I know so many people have been sort of pushing, just go to the NHS. And it's very interesting that people do that, because I don't think they have much faith in other things, or they feel a quick fix is what one needs. Cover the symptoms with steroids and you'll be all right. But he was not very keen on steroids, this chap. And he said, no, that is smothering the problem, and you're cushioning the muscles so that you can do things, but you can be doing some underlying damage while you're on the illusion that you are getting better. And of course they go on for months, and the steroids mess you up. They mess up your whole microbiome in your digestive system. They do all sorts of funny things. Now, I've been on them, and I said, yeah, look, 20 years ago, I was on them for 6 months to a year, and it was the most hideous time I've ever had. I'm not doing it again. I think unless you've done it once before and you've had the misery, initially you think, oh, yeah, look at me, I can do things again. And this was just for my eye. When I was having my eye removed, or the cornea transplants that went on and on and on. Three cornea transplants, and the people who sort of say go to the NHS, get on with it. I don't think they really appreciate my medical history. I don't know how much medical history they know, whether they've been on steroids before, what it can do. One's got to follow the path that one's gut says. And so I've got this chap coming Wednesday who's a chiropractor. That's how it's I don't know whether it's chiropractor or chiropractitioner. Anyway, either way, he's not coming from Egypt. So he's going to have a poke at the same time. And we will see what that says. In the meantime, I shall write to my doctor. I see if I can arrange a blood test. And then get that organised. So that's that. What else? I mean, not a lot have been going on, because this stiffness has prevented me from doing stuff. But I just came to a point yesterday where I thought, there's a line in the sand now. I am not sitting around anymore. This convalescence has got to finish. I am pushing through it as much as I can. We've got to get back to the land. We've got to get on and do things. And somehow or other, without resorting to pharmaceuticals and pharmaceutical painkillers, but with natural remedies, holistic remedies, somehow got to get on and do things again, because it's driving me mad not being able to. So today, hopefully, if the weather is nice, and I haven't actually looked outside, but it doesn't sound like it's pissing with rain and what have you, got to go down to Southampton and pick up some scaffold boards, which have been chopped to a certain size and have been offered to me free, which is very nice, and bring them up to the land, because on the workshop that we've got there, I want to build in the front area a sort of veranda with a roof that goes over the roof of the shed to sort of protect the frontage and direct the rain towards the back. We've still got more roofage to do on the workshop. And then we have a load of wool that's come. We've just saved up all this wool that comes with these packing things, you know, when people put this wool in as packing, whether with food or whatever. We've got a load of that, so we're going to use that as insulation. And then I shall just get some thin plywood and sandwich that against the walls of the workshop, and then make some, probably some pug of some description again. I've got some ideas now on what I'm going to do to fill up all the little gaps and sort out the fire and get all of that done the best of my ability, of course. And where I might need assistance and help, I will call on some friends who've offered to do that. So now we are getting slightly longer days. I mean, it's still just about light at 4 o'clock. So that just gives us more hope to get on a dry day. There's some rubble. We've been offered some rubble. And there's some rubble from my neighbours to get up there to put onto the track, so we can get the van in. So we've got to do that. And there's some other stuff which we want to show in the English couple in due course, of how we're going to do our veg beds. And not med beds, but veg beds, which is going to be very interesting, a sort of test area to do some of that. And we should be having a delivery of potatoes any minute, which will need chitting. So, but they need to be chitted in a dry area that's, I think, can't remember where they were supposed to be, just outside the sun, but not cold. So I'm probably going to set up some sort of chitter place in the front bedroom here, in the room that's not being used at the moment, because it does get the sun in, so it warms up, but they don't have to be in the direct sunshine. And I think that's what it is. I'll have to consult with the oracle, dear old Sean, and just find out what we do again, although he's probably left me a message about it. He did leave me a message, told me what to do, because with this bloody condition, it's you know, you're listening and then next minute you're in pain. So anyway, so there's a lot to be done. And then of course then there's the clearance stuff and preparing the beds. So I've got to get on with all of this. We've got to get our compost heap back into operation, get some manure. I probably have to start thinking about purchasing a little tractor, like a little grey Fergie or something. I'm going to have to look at that, because it would be useful to have a tractor to haul stuff up the track and move heavy stuff around on the land. I don't want, but we need to lay out a specific track area on the land so that the tractor doesn't churn up the wet soil. So there's that. So again, there's, you know, and that would be useful for the clearance. Also, I've got to bring down some of these trees. I've got this chainsaw, so I've got to get my strength up for that. So I'm now, you know, after 2 months basically having had to sit around at home enduring this issue, 8 weeks of this, and with Christmas and December and New Year and all of this, and all that awful weather, which on the one hand has been useful to be convalescing and also at during that time, quite a few of my books were being sold, and so it was pootling down to the post office and getting them in the post. Now that's sort of dwindled a bit. Now's the time to get back onto getting on with things. And so hence, I have to get up a bit early. Not the 6 o'clock is that early, really. And start the physical work of waking up the body, waking up them, loosening the muscles, getting to them to the point where I can function again. And in the meantime, we'll go and get these. I think there's probably a kit that you can get that you can take your blood and send it off. And see what's lacking. I think if anything, there's something. I'm deficient in something. It is like the body's gone into shock and not just come out of shock, really. There's certain muscles in my shoulders that just will not relax, no matter how much you try and relax them. And Julia's been working them hard. And, yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what the chiro practitioner bloke says as well. Get another opinion on that. But a lot of people have, you know, I'm energising the water, structured water. I've got some homeopathy, that's it, stuff to take. We've got, you know, umpteen supplements that I'm taking. We're on the carnivore diet. And, I mean, you know, it's endless, really, what I'm doing. People have done crystal work on me. There's somebody who's been doing some spiritual work. I've got some CBD stuff. And, it, you know, it's been fascinating. It's laughable when people are, you know, I know they're concerned, but they get very belligerent on insisting that one has to go through the NHS, public enemy number one. And I kind of owe it to those people who follow my principles, I suppose. And one, you can't just give up and go, oh well, petrochemicals, here we come, let's abuse the body and take the easy way. I'm just not like that. And I think that, you know, one has to try and find what health systems will work outside the NHS for the future. If you're going to be out of the system, their system that wants to keep you ill, keep you a number, keep you tagged and know everything about your medical history, use that against you, you know, with the digital IDs coming in and everything all in one place. I don't want to tell them all this information. I don't want them to know. Why would we want them to know? Why do we want the so-called authority in control, the big brother? No, we have got to be staunchly independent and encourage others to find holistic ways so that we can develop these older, earlier, more important techniques and have more practitioners doing this sort of thing to help other people in the long term rather than continually feeding people like BlackRock and these NHS trusts and the Rockefellers and, you know, the Rothschilds and all of these people who've set up these bad ways. I mean, otherwise you may as well just say, well, you know, if you need to eat, just go to the supermarket. And people still do that. And people, it seems to me, cannot. There's a line that they cannot see beyond. And I know people are concerned. I'm concerned. I'm the one living with it. But we will get through this. You've got to have positive, you know. Got to be positive about all of this. Anyway, so that's the current situation. That's where we are. That's what I'm doing. Like it or lump it. And I'm going to do some exercises now, and then I shall... I'm not leaving till about 10-ish, so I want to work on my book for an hour or so, the second book. And even if it's only a few paragraphs, I just feel I want to be able to try and do something every day, if I can sit down and type for a while. And I shall make Julia a nice cup of tea. Ooh, excuse me. And then slowly get ourselves together. And away we go. So that's the mission today. And I've got to do these little missions and slowly build up the strength again. Because sitting around, you know, my muscles are not being used at all. They're not being challenged. So I know people would just disagree with me all the time. It doesn't matter what direction I go, people will just go, "No, Richard, you're wrong." And I think you have to trust your gut. It's so important. We've lost the ability to sit in the silence, to listen to ourselves, and trust our gut. And if you take a step out of the norm into the unconventional, and we've seen through history, have we not, the people who were laughed at for taking steps away from the norm, only to discover later on they were right. They were pioneers. They did things. But people are... we want to play it safe. And that's fine for their lives. I wouldn't tell them what to do. I would not be saying, "You must." I would, you know, in my videos I say, "I think this and I think that. This is my opinion. You can disagree." I'm always saying that. I'm not saying you've got to do this and you've got to do it that way. People's decisions are absolutely their own. But some people will ram their decision down other people's throats. And we've seen that with politics and religion and health. And, you know, it may be misguided. Who knows? It may be misguided. But if you don't follow your own path, how do you know? How do you know? And I spend a lot of time, or at least in the last 2 months at the moment, in repose, thinking, and connecting with myself. People don't do it. I mean, I've been lucky that I've been able to survive financially during this period by selling a few books. I don't want for much. That's the other thing. I don't need expensive this and expensive that. We don't go out for meals and all of this sort of stuff. Yes, I smoke my pipe, so that's one of my pleasures, but I'm also aware that we have nicotine receptors and that the nicotine is doing good stuff. And I think that that is very true. It's protecting from various other things, and one needs to have that. Now, people would disagree because they've been so brainwashed beyond, you know, even the truthers cannot look at the evidence of how biased the government's and the industry's trials and tests and things just to try and show that there is an absolute connection between lung cancer and smoking. And I get it, if you are smoking 80 a day commercial cigarettes and you're putting the smoke straight into your lungs, that is not advisable. I wouldn't advise anyone to do that. I think that is, you know, you're over-egging the pudding, as it's so, you know, overindulgent there. But there is evidence out there, and it's people have been so brainwashed, and of course, every product that has tobacco on it has the extreme death notices on it, and yet things like alcohol, which causes a lot of misery And I know that from a previous girlfriend and my mother, who became alcoholics, and various other people I know who are alcoholics, and it's ruining their lives, it's ruining their families' lives, and it is a complete misery. It doesn't just affect the individual. Alcohol can, when it's out of control and becomes a dependency, cause huge amount of problems for people. But you don't see the stark warnings on bottles of wine or scotch or vodka. You don't see those, do you? That's very interesting. And if it's one thing that we have learnt, is you cannot take what the government says as true, government, you know, meaning that they lie, that they don't listen. And we know, I mean, if people can't see it, I really struggle. And people have dumbed down, people have been blinded, and they still believe what the government tells them, and yet straight in front of their faces are these top-down things that nobody's asked for, that is unwise. I mean, why would you tax the farmers 50% inheritance tax? Why would you take away the ability for farmers to pass their farms on to their sons? Why would you think that that was a good thing? Why would you think winter payments for the elderly to be taken away from them was a good thing? When the government is working so obviously against its people and not listening and is extremely unpopular and is allowing, as we've seen, migrants to come into this country en masse that we don't know what to do with, that they'll put them up in hotels and give them everything they need, and yet the homeless are allowed to just rot on the street. And those people who are on disability benefits are challenged to the point where they cannot understand that somebody can see I'm disabled, I've got a missing leg, or I've got this problem, or I've got, and they're being, you know, well, we don't believe you, we think you're just a lazy scumbag, as people have been. And yet somebody who has decided to make their way from their country, go across other countries, and then, you know, they won't settle there, then they'll make the crossing and come to this country. And of course, the whole thing is suspect anyway, because we've seen how the rubber boats are being collected and then ferried back to France to be reused under the auspices of the government. And, you know, the pretense is so weak now. I mean, the other day I saw a video of a woman who was arrested for feeding the birds. The police are out of control. When we live in a world like that and we say, oh, that's normal, and we accept it, we have lost. It is remarkable that we can be just so pliable and lie back and let it happen. They didn't let it happen in the peasants' revolt. And it wasn't the peasants that were revolting. It was the middling classes who had had enough of being taxed and being treated badly. And they rose up. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have a bloodbath by any means. I'm just suggesting that if the government is not working for you, it should not be there. The people are the ones who put the government, a government, in position. And I, you know, having interviewed a number of people now, and one particular chap who said the government fell, I think it was in Poland, for a year, and it was anarchy, as in the original definition of anarchy, that was self-rule, people got on. He said it was the best time in his life. People got on because instead of raiding one another and stealing, he said people know that they rely on each other to build the communities. And they took back responsibility for themselves, and they worked out how to do things again. They had agency. We've lost that because we've allowed these professionals to do everything for us. And we, you know, we just smile because we can spend longer online looking at screens and being distracted from the real things in life. It is such a very sad situation, that people can't notice it, and you know, you question it. You question any of these things. Question the vaccine. Are you sure that is a good thing? Oh, well, you're an anti-vax. Well, actually, yes, that's true. I am an anti-vax. I just can't see that any vaccine has actually had any benefit whatsoever, having now looked at lots of papers and books and research into it. So, yeah, I'm very suspicious about putting chemicals, unnatural chemicals, into a body, particularly children who are fit and healthy, and in the next instance, bang, they've been poisoned. So, yeah, question the vaccine. You are, you know, you're a public enemy number one yourself. Question the narrative of man-made global warming. I agree, there's a lot of pollution and that should stop. But, you know, if there is man-made global warming, the huge amount of manufacturing industries and the corporations are the ones causing it, not you and I sitting at home with our little wood-burning stove and what have you. Of course, if you're buying into the highly processed foods with vitamin deficiency, mineral deficiency, and all the food colourings and the big processing and the, you know, all the flipping packaging that comes with everything that is going into landfill, all the plastics and stuff, well, you're contributing to the so-called man-made global warming anyway. We don't need half of that. We don't need all this packaging and, you know, and if you're spending all day online and you're embracing AI, you are, of course, contributing to these data centres which are heating up left, right and centre, gobbling up acres of land. And they all need these lithium batteries and these various things, depleting the world of its minerals. If you're buying into all of this, then, of course, you are contributing. Not that I believe the man-made global warming is as anywhere near as dangerous as it's being led. But, of course, it's an excuse to have net zero policies, 17 sustainable goals. And then we see all the 5G radiating and stuff. And question it. It's barking mad that you are not allowed to say, excuse me, you've implemented all this stuff. Who asked for it? Why have we got it? And is it safe? They don't like that. People don't like it. Is it safe? Yeah, of course it's safe. Government tells you it is. We should question everything, but people don't. People don't. We've been distracted from ourselves, from our spirituality, from our own belief system. We've been sent down a path to believe that we're weak, that we're victims, that we have to be successful in life, and that we must work all hours and earn money, well, currency, which is only a promise to pay that's never paid, tokens which have no value in reality. We are encouraged to buy titles, a title of a house, you know, title deed. It's only a title. What is a title? It's something made up. Mr. and Mrs., Lord and Lady, these are just made up things. They're concepts. They're not real things in the world. And a title deed to a so-called house is that we all think means we own a house, just means you own a bit of paper with a title on it, which is made up. Nobody can own the land in an outright. It's not ours to own. We can't go back to the creator and say, I'd like to buy this bit of land, because everything that you would offer the creator to pay for that land is the creator's to begin with, that has been either mined, you know, and say, well, I'll give you gold. And the creator would say, well, look, that gold is mine anyway. It's in the earth. The paper that's been printed, this concept of promise to pay, is the paper that, or the materials used to make the polymer money, is mine anyway, you know, because it's been created from the earth. I'm not going to accept anything that is just a concept, because that's not real. So how do you buy anything? How do you, can't really own anything, but you can own a title, or an entitlement, presumably, is what it means. The government have said you are entitled. We are giving you permission to look like you own that bit of land or that house or whatever it is. And of course, it's just made, it's just them. And again, what's an entitlement? It's just a concept. It's a concept. It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing like putting your hand into a into the ground and pulling up earth, or a tree, or something that grows. It's just like the United Kingdom is a concept. It's not a real place. Everybody seems to think they live in the United Kingdom. Well, they don't. That's just a concept that's been invented. We live on a landmass surrounded by water. We can give it a name, like Britain, which has been known for over 2,000 years. And of course, there are other names. But the United Kingdom, I mean, just think about it. A kingdom, for one thing, means there's a king, and his domain, the king domain, is what he deems as his area, what he deems, what he has marked out. Which, in other words, it's a concept. It's in his mind. This area I am claiming for myself. This is my kingdom. And a united kingdom means, clearly, it is united with other kings, and that it is, you know, this whole area, we are all agreeing, is ours. But it can't be theirs, for one thing, because it's a concept. It's just in your mind. It doesn't exist. Which is why when you park your car and you get a parking ticket and it says, well, you parked here at this postcode in the United Kingdom, you go, well, where's the United Kingdom then? It's just in your mind. It's not a real place. I parked on the earth. I parked on the earth, and which is not yours, for one thing. It's the creator's. And the creator has allowed man the dominance of this, and certainly hasn't come back. And, you know, the creator, whatever it is, however you think of it, whatever created this planet, sphere, whatever it is, plane, undulating bit of land, whatever it is, doesn't go round putting tickets on cars. Man does that. Man, who wants some authority over other people and wants to collect money, does it. But it's not his to do. And that's, you know, people don't think these things through. They go, oh, yeah, I've got a ticket, I've got to pay. Or, you know, you can argue about it with them. But actually, where are they getting their authority? Unless you consent to it, unless you go, oh, yeah, I'll be in your mind game, and I'll be in the United Kingdom that you've made up, and I'll go along with your rules and legislation and say that that's to do with me. But none of that's to do with real men and women, real people, should have nothing to do with it unless you want to be part of it. Anyway, one can go on about this, but people seem blind to it or find the concept difficult to comprehend. And they find it's better to be in the system than out of the system. And that's probably true. It's probably easier, more convenient, than fighting against a system that has all the might and the bullies and the mafia and the people with sticks. That is true, because they don't like it if you challenge them, because that's the authority. But does that make it right? Does it make it right? Shouldn't we be saying, actually, your authority is very weak, because it's based on you thinking you are better than me? What makes you better than me? We're all going to die. We all suffer from getting wet in the rain, getting cold when it's cold, getting too hot when it's hot. We all need to eat. We're all the same. And you have no extra authority to tell me what to do unless I agree to it. Or unless you've got bigger sticks than me and you have, you know, the army, the police and all these bloody things that we've allowed to grow. And then these same people would decide, do you know what, we're going to have a war and we're going to recruit you all mandatorily and let you go into war and be killed. Doesn't seem right to me. It seems very unright. Anyway, there you go. Enough waffling. I must get on. Thank you for listening. If you did, I know people won't agree or understand, or and they'll just think I'm mad. I don't care. Probably am mad. Till next time. Goodbye.